Shikamaru Nara. You're listening to the Shonen Tapes. Oh, you're not subscribed yet? What a drag.
And this is a transformation tape. Alright, let me do it again. And this is the transformation tape! No, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Not at all.
So, should I keep them both? They can hear them both.
Keep them both in, man. You know,
they'll hear everything, including this conversation about us keeping it. Welcome, tapeworms, to another episode of the Shonen Tapes, where we are talking about transformations. I'm one of your co-hosts, Mr. Kevin, and I'm joined by Sean, Shonen Pants, the bald one.
The shiny head bald one. Yo, I got a candle lit, Kevin. This feels, you know,
romantic
right now. You know, so it's romantic.
You feel
now, my basement just smells, so I put on a candle, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's really cool. You should shower. Anyways, I noticed we used to have a really frequent amount of people joining the Discord, and all of a sudden it stopped. I mean, the conversation's still going, the Discord's still fun. But, you know, we used to have, you know, a good amount joining every week, and that has stopped. So I feel like I'm not talking about it enough. So here I am talking about it. Guys, join the Discord. It's fun. You get to chat with us directly and talk about what future episodes and shows that you'd like us to see and do episodes of the Shonen Tapes. Also worth mentioning, we do have a Patreon. So for those of y'all that, maybe you want a little more, maybe you want some bonus content. You want to hear us talk about aliens. You want to hear us talk about wrestling, movies, TV shows, all this stuff. Come check out our Patreon. We also do bonus anime content and a couple of other heebie-jeebie type things.
Yeah, we did an episode on conspiracy theories. You know what I'm saying? You get to hear me uncensored. You know what I'm saying? Me talk. You get to hear what do you call that? Metal hat or tinfoil hat?
Conspiracy theoried out, unhinged.
Unhinged, that's what you call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to hear all those. You
know, there it is. That's enough self promo for now. Let's talk about what we're here to talk about. Unless you got something to riff about, Mr. Ricky.
Dude, I got something that blew my mind, and I'm seeing this a lot on TikTok. It's about the Mandela effect. Are you familiar with the Mandela effect, Kevin?
Do you mean the effect of everybody being extremely overconfident about mistakes that they have made in their mental and the majority of people thinking the same thing? Yes, I'm familiar with that effect.
You know how I knew that you wouldn't believe in this guy?
It's stupid. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, I'm about to blow your mind right now and make you believe in the Mandela effect. So I saw this TikTok and a guy like you did not believe in the Mandela effect. And then he was like, yeah, I'm like a Pokemon fan, you know, and everything. And one day we were just talking about Onyx, or we were talking about Onyx, you know, the rock snake Pokemon.
Yeah.
And Kevin, how do you spell Onyx?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how to spell Onyx. I can see it O-N-I-X. I can see it O-N-Y-X. They both make sense to me.
I've had cards. It says it's O N Y X, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Now it's O N I X, and now people are saying that's how it always was. That's not how it always was, bro.
But Sean, here's the thing. So what's Kevin, what's the proper?
We're in a different timeline, dog.
What's the proper way to spell Onyx in the game? You're saying O N I X.
O N I X.
Okay, do you know why? Okay,
now let me explain. O-N-Y-X.
Now let me explain to you why this is the common scenario. This is actually a really, really good example. Everyone, I can feel myself getting on people's nerves, but hear me out. Do you know what Onyx is? Onyx is a type of mineral, and that mineral is spelled O-N-Y-X. So when you're a little child and you're learning about Pokemon, and you put in your brain Onyx, and then you're in elemental class, science class, whatever, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and you're seeing constantly O-N-Y-X for these minerals, whether you remember it or not, I know for a fact you've seen this written in a book or on a post somewhere. You in your head are just like, oh, Onyx, that's how you spell Onyx, O-N-Y-X. So obviously Pokemon wasn't going to name one of their Pokemon after a mineral, so they spelled it with a Y. It makes sense, but no, Everybody is so overconfident. We'd rather be in a different freaking dimension than people just be wrong about something. Heavens forbid.
Kevin.
Get wrecked, Sean.
Kevin.
Get, listen, you and every other Mandela effector listening, get wrecked. I have a good point. I don't care.
You have a good point, Kevin. But I've literally held a Pokemon card that said O-N-Y-X. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure. 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 Because again, heavens forbid that you're mistaken about something, right?
Hey, am I
right?
I'm wrong, dude. I'm the first one to admit when I'm wrong.
You are wrong. Also, clearly, right?
This goes into another thing I was wrong about. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Itachi's, more popular than Sasuke. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Yo, apparently I'm an idiot, according to, people on TikTok.
Not just TikTok, Sean. Facebook and YouTube.
YouTube, yo. Instagram. Shout out to Instagram, yo. Y'all got my back, you know what I'm saying?
No, I literally think it was one person. So shout out to that one person. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why that was so hard for you to believe. Guys, this isn't just like a bit we put on for the podcast. I think, Sean, he either called me or we were texting about it, but we had like another separate 30-minute argument about this, like after those episodes. We were legitimately a little annoyed at each other too. I could feel it. I was like, dog, you're being so stubborn. And he's just like, Kevin, no, I'm not.
I told my wife about it and she was just stared at me. I was like, I know. It's a dumb conversation.
I was like, bro, I just showed you like 16 polls. Show me one. And he's like, no. I was like, all right.
No, once you showed me that one poll with like literally thousands and thousands of people voting, I was like, all right. And then it was like, we'll write a one shot manga if like you should tell us who's more popular. Then I was like, all right, I'm gonna shut up. I'm wrong. Hey man, so I'm admitting I'm wrong, dude.
All right. Well, kudos.
I don't get it, but I'm
kudos
wrong.
To that. Kudos to that. Hopefully you don't have like a Mandela effect like a year or two from now and you're like, but I was on the other side. It's the Mandela effect. For the record though, I do believe in parallel dimensions and the multiverse and all that other stuff. That I think that stuff is possible.
Bro, then why don't you believe in this, dude?
This isn't the conspiracy tape, Sean. This is, you know what this is? This is the transformations tape, okay? So I'm gonna need to take that little tinfoil hat you got on right back off and expose to me that bald head of yours and talk to me about why we're doing this episode. What got you? This was a Sean episode. So fill us in.
Yeah, this was a Sean episode. So I was watching some YouTube and they're talking about the Buu saga. And I was just like, dude, like some of these transformations are so dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like it just felt like they were just like doing transformations for Boo just to do transformations. They're just doing transformations just to do transformations. And I was just like, come on, dude. And then I was like, dude, this would be a fire episode to talk about. So I'm just like, all right, this Boo's transformation is super dumb. And then like I got mad for a second. And then I just started thinking about all like the good transformations in anime. And then I was like, this would be a fire episode. Then I texted Kevin. And then Kevin just said yes. So then we're doing it.
Thank you for the play-by-play. But it was okay. So it was Boo though. It was Boo that really got your juices flowing.
Boo got my juices flowing because I hate Boo.
Sure.
I feel like in Super I started liking Boo a little bit more, but I still hate Boo.
He's kind of a non-factor in Super though.
But like he's cute and funny. He's like comic relief.
He's a little tubster for sure. What makes a good transformation to you? Like, why are those bad and what is good?
I feel like a good transformation needs to feel earned. And if it doesn't feel earned or if it feels like they're just doing the transformation just because like it's a part of like the story or if it's a part of a trope, then I just like, it kind of makes me roll my eyes. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it needs to drive the story forward. And then I guess like the Boo transformations, it does drive the story forward just because he's the villain. But like, I feel like it needs to drive the story forward for more than just that. You know what I'm saying? More than just like, he's just fulfilling his role. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny. We always come to this point, and I'm about to say something that is like the whole like story of the Shonen Tapes. I don't care if it drives the story forward or not, but I care if it drives the characters forward or not, right? I care if it improves highly upon the character. I'll give a good example. I think Piccolo's transformation in Dragon Ball Super,
superhero,
where he just turned into Orange Piccolo, I think that completely revitalized Piccolo's character. And I think that was an example of using a transformation to completely bring a character back into the fray. Did it drive the story forward? I mean, maybe it was kind of like a plot device for the movie. I wouldn't say it like did too much crazy stuff for the story, and it wasn't like a big like story plot point. It just kind of happened and was cool. And I think now, you know, you're looking at all of this. Okay, like, let's look at the strongest people in the Dragon Ball universe. You see Goku, Vegeta, and then now you have Piccolo thrusted into the conversation along with Gohan and Broly. It's really cool because if I asked everybody, you know, how do you feel about Piccolo in Super, or how do you feel about Piccolo in general, they'd be like, meh. You know, like, everybody loved Piccolo back in the day. He was sick, right? He went toe-to-toe with Frieza's, one of Frieza's forms earlier. He helped take down Raditz. He was like a real player. But, you know, the other characters got transformations, the other characters got power-ups, and he just got left in the dust. And you either become a character who's not known for your fighting, which Piccolo slowly entered in. Then enter Orange Piccolo. Orange Piccolo. Now, suddenly you have this, like, beast of a character who matters, right? I think that is like a perfect way to use a transformation to make a character relevant again. So I care more about how it affects the characters rather than the story.
I see what you're saying. I kind of do feel like Orange Piccolo drove the movie story forward in a way, like slightly, but I guess it definitely was more character than anything. It was definitely a way to bring Piccolo's character back into the story, which is in a way pushing his story forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It kind of, right? But like, the movie would have been the same movie without that transformation, wouldn't it have? Like, not much. That transformation didn't really move the needle. Like, sure, you had the cool moment of Piccolo getting huge and fighting Cell Max, but you could have had the same exact movie without having the Piccolo transformation, in my opinion. You know, the whole basis of the movie was to get Gohan to step up, which he eventually does. Spoiler.
Yeah, I get that. See, I like it, but I'll give you the perfect transformation that like encapsulates what I like is driving the story forward. Founding Titan Eren. So like, you first see Eren activate the, or he's first, you know, gets the Founding Titan, like, I guess, like, in the second season, but, like, it's not activated yet, but he's, like, but, you know what I'm saying? And then it gets activated. Now we're at the fourth season where it gets activated. Now he's, like, this, like, big slug monster god, and, like, there had to be so much things that happened for that transformation to happen. So when you see the transformation, it feels earned, and it feels like, damn, I've been waiting for this, and it's that. Like, it's even, you know, crazier than my imagination, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that's a good example of a transformation driving the story itself, because it also transformed on Eren's character, because he didn't just transform physically. He went from like a highly inspired individual with a vendetta to almost like a ruthless god, right? Like, I mean, I don't know if they're going to stop him or not. Like, I haven't read ahead, but wow. Like, he's just not the same anymore. He's not the same Eren Jaeger. Even there's a couple of versions of Eren Jaeger, but even the version he was before that transformation isn't the same one anymore. He's just different.
He's just different, dog. Like, any
super villain.
If you told me when I first started Attack on Titan that it would end up like this, I would have been like, dude, like, you just made that up.
Yeah.
You know, completely made that up. You know?
That's true. That's very true. I think those are examples of transformations kind of, you know, being done right for one reason or another. Now, about how they achieved those two transformations, like Orange Piccolo versus Eren Jaeger, are incredibly different. Aaron's was built up to it kind of like the whole show, versus Piccolo kind of used the cheap way to get it. Like, let me just make a wish from the dragon. Like, ah, that sucks. That's a blower. But like I said, I don't really care from that perspective, but it does get a little too cliche. I was, you know, studying up on this episode a bit, and I noticed that I guess Bleach does this a lot, where, you know, Ichigo or whatever is in a fight, his back is against the wall, and he's gonna lose the fight. And what does he have to do? He has to pull a transformation out of his butt to beat the character.
Yeah,
Dragon Ball also does this a lot, and a lot of shows do. Like, I'm gonna lose, I'm gonna lose. Even Pokemon does it. They literally evolve. I'm gonna lose, and then they evolve mid battle and they win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with Bleach, the transformation, like, first he was just like a Soul Reaper, and then like they're fighting a whole different other species, and they're like, oh, like Ichigo's a little bit of this too, and then he turns into that species. And even though it looks cool, it's just like a little bit, when you think about it, you're like, that was kind of lame. And I think that's why Bleach
sounds a little lame.
But like, I think you would like Bleach because it's cool when you're watching it. You're like, oh, this is cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah,
I guess my point is, like, the way the characters get to the transformation, I think, is also very important. Like, obviously, everyone's trying to sort of replicate the best transformation of all time, right? Super Saiyan. I think we can agree, Goku turning Super Saiyan 1 is the best transformation of all time in regards to the buildup, to how it got there, to his back being against the wall. Like, I'm sure that story was kind of told before, but I don't know if it did it first, but it definitely did it the most memorably and the earliest point in time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was definitely one of the first, if not the first, to kind of introduce that as a, okay, this is how it's done. And a lot of people just try to like replicate it a lot, but I don't know how you feel about this, but I mean, I think it's common knowledge that Super Saiyan is the best, like Super Saiyan 1 Goku specifically in that scene is the best transformation of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because the use of like foreshadowing, like, you know, you have Vegeta being like, you know, even in, you know, the Saiyan saga, I mean, like, he's like, I am a Super Saiyan, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, we don't know what a Super Saiyan is, so we assume, like, all right, I guess he is a Super Saiyan. You know what I'm saying? And then you have Frieza talking about, you know, like, laughing, like, ah, like, what's it? Super Saiyans are stupid and stuff like that. And then Goku finally turns into a Super Saiyan. Like, it just feels so, it feels so earned to the point where there's some transformations in Dragon Ball Z that don't feel as earned. You know, like, of course, you have, like, Super Saiyan 2. Like, that was really dope. I'm gonna get a lot of hate. I think the Super Saiyan 3 transformation was not that dope. Like, it was dope when it happened, but then you think about it.
No, you're not gonna get hate because they didn't. That was probably the least focused on form in all of Dragon Ball, or at least in all of like Super Saiyans and the Saiyans forms. I think every other form got so much more eyes on it than Super Saiyan 3. Goku spent as much time powering up to get to Super Saiyan 3. As he did making it useful.
Like, you remember when Trunks like almost turned like Super Saiyan 2, but he would just like get really bulk and like bulky and like, I'm a super, super Saiyan. You don't remember those
super,
episodes?
Super, super Saiyan. Yeah, those sucked. I hated that.
That was like kind of dumb. Like,
Vegeta. No, they were literally called like Super Vegeta, Super Trunks, but
yeah, they were just like super bulky. They look like wrestlers.
Yeah.
And apparently they are slower because they're like so bulky.
It's like Brock Lesnar's. Like, everybody just turns into Brock Lesnar. This is my Brock Lesnar form. Watch out, Frieza. Dragon Ball definitely had a lot of misses for sure, but they always bring it back. They would and it's not even one of those scenarios where it's like the more you, it's like, okay, you can't score if you don't shoot. That's definitely a case with Dragon Ball, and they're definitely shooting a lot. But I think their percentage is pretty good still overall. Like, for as many ridiculous forms as they've had, they've also had as many cool ones. I'm going to go and talk about one of my favorite transformations of all time, Ultra Instinct. Like, I liked Goku before, okay? I loved Vegeta. Now I love Goku and I love Vegeta. I still like Vegeta more than I like Goku. But after seeing Goku reach Ultra Instinct and just seeing how dope he is in the form, and that's like an example of a transfer. Another example, I guess, of a transformation, sort of changing a character a bit, because, you know, Goku's very like smiley and haha, like, let's do it. Let fight me, brother. But now he's like badass. Like, he's walking around. He's ignoring things that are coming at him. He's like slouched a little bit while he's fighting. And I'm like, this is so different. Like, you are so, so cold. And from a visual perspective, it wasn't that different, right? Like, he wasn't, didn't get this crazy, crazy power up, crazy change. But, you know, the sleek white hair, like, it looked very good. I'd say it's one of my favorite transformations, like, of all time, to be honest. I love the Ultra Instinct. I think it's this generation's Super Saiyan. Not really. That's probably false to say, but it's like Dragon Ball. This just generation of Dragon Ball's Super Saiyan, I guess you could say.
I don't think, like, again, I love Ultra Instinct. I think it took Dragon Ball Z a long time to get to a super hype transformation like Ultra Instinct. Because I feel like, I honestly think they have more, like, this is me saying because I love Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
I think they have more misses than shot, like, you know, hits. Actual hits. You know what I'm saying? Like, they haven't had something that hit as hard as Super Saiyan 1, like, since until Ultra Instinct. How long is that? Like 30 years? You know? Like, I remember I remember exactly where I was when Goku turned Super Saiyan 1, and I can't say that about any other transformation. Like, in anime, actually. You know, I remember I was in my parents' room watching on their TV, you know what I'm saying? I needed to use the bathroom, but I couldn't because I was like, oh, he's about to turn Super Saiyan. He's about to do something, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, like, I can't say that about Ultra Instinct, but, again, I'm old, like, you know, I'm older.
You're old.
I've seen things, you know what I'm saying? So I think if a kid saw that Ultra Instinct, they'd probably feel the same way.
Tony, like, it's because the setting of the transformation also sets it apart too, because one thing that Super did a really fantastic job of was the music. So dun 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 dun, like this crazy, crazy, crazy orchestra that they had for Super, it just kind of gives you the chills. Like, telling you, I still go back and I still watch it like pretty often on YouTube. I think you're right though. I mean, they ultimately did take a long time to get a good one going. Let me flip the script a little bit. What about Naruto transformations? Like, how do you feel about the transformations Naruto does?
I think for me, they're cool, but they're not like stick in your mind cool. Like, they are because they happen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, it looks cool, but I don't think they're like great, like the best or anything like that, you know?
I hate to use this word, but they are forgettable.
They're definitely forgettable, dog.
In the moment when you see them, it's cool and it makes sense. But I think the reason for that is because it's very leveled and it makes a lot of sense within the world. When shows like Dragon Ball do transformations, they typically break boundaries. Mm-hmm. Naruto transformations don't really break boundaries. And you can even see a crazy one, like towards the end of the show, when Mike Guy, you know, pulls out the ninth gate or whatever. That was a crazy, crazy transformation and it broke limits, but he still lost. And so as memorable as that almost was, it wasn't memorable enough because he lost his ability. Win. Yeah, and he didn't win, right?
Like, I mean, same thing with Ultimate Gohan. We thought that was going to be dope, but then, you know, they worked through all those episodes to make him Ultimate Gohan and they're like, yeah, horrible. Nice, let's go. And then he loses, right? He loses the Boo.
I got so a bone to pick with Gohan, bro. He's on my naughty list of just the worst offenders of transformations. Because there's the Ultimate Gohan, then also Beast Gohan. Like, going back to Dragon Ball, Dragon Super, whatever the hell that's called, Beast Gohan sucked. Like, everyone is people are kind of gassed on this form, and I don't know why. It's just Gohan. It kind of looks like Ultra Instinct. He kind of has different color eyes, and all of a sudden he's as strong as like Goku and Vegeta are after years and years and years of training. It was because he just gets mad. That's really, really lame storytelling. And I think that's one of my least favorite transformations in a long time. Not gonna lie. Like, it was kind of cool for the moment in the movie, but to put him on the same power scale as above and to say he got there because he's mad and he felt like he failed Piccolo. Horrible. That is so bad.
And it's not as on top bad, of that, though.
Ultimate Gohan sucked as well, too. So he's just, Gohan just sucks. Sure, he had Super Saiyan 2, which was sick, but everything else sucked.
It's not as bad, though, because the story of Gohan is he has this hidden power and is triggered by his anger, like, more than anyone else. So it makes sense that he can reach that ability, especially from all his knowledge throughout the seasons of fighting and training and stuff like that. So he can unlock that through his anger, because that's how he gets all his power. I think it makes sense, but I get why people don't like it.
I know what you mean, but come on, dude. Like, years and years and years of fighting, and he just gets there because he's angry. Like, if anything, that's lazy storytelling. If they want to make some super duper compelling reason that Gohan can do this, fine. But just the fact that, oh, he's just really strong.
Lame. But you got to even, like, think about, you know, Gohan all the way back in the Dead Zone with zero training, beats huge-ass Garlic Jr., who's beating Goku and Krillin and Piccolo, and, like, you know, handing everyone's ass to each other. And then, like, here goes Gohan getting mad that his daddy is getting
Listen, I got to point out how old you are. You just said handing everyone's ass to each other. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
you sound like one of my parents trying to, like, cuss someone out. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
Like, this is using words, but, like, not... I hand your ass to you, Bubba. No, but I get you. I feel you. But sorry, I kind of brought us back to Dragon Ball when we were talking about Naruto. I think you're spot on with Naruto transformations. They are forgettable. Did you see Naruto's new form in Boruto, though? I think it's, like, called the Baron form.
Yeah, isn't it, like, when
the tails?
I saw tails on TikTok.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I don't know. The one thing I do like about Naruto, and I think they did this more in the original series, is when he did transform. And I think it's because, like, Kurama was, like, had more power over him. His like, personality changed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I, you know, same with Ultra Instinct. Like, I love that. Like, there's me too. In the Dark Tournament in Yu Yu Hakusho, Kurama turns into Yoko Kurama because he has, like, a demon in him. And then the demon just takes over, and it's like Kurama's, like, you know Kurama, the guy with the red hair. He's like like, he's a nice guy and everything like that. Yeah. But, like, when he turns to Yoko Kurama, you know, he's, like, mean, he's sadistic, and it's like, I like when transformations do that. Like, make it, if you're gonna turn into something else, like, your personality kind of changed too.
Yeah,
if not, that's, like, true. Completely change. I like that.
That's true.
So now the original series of Naruto, they, like, kind of did that a little bit, especially with
sometimes
even with Sasuke and the cursed mark thing. Like,
yeah.
We would kind of change up too. He'd be a little bit, you know, darker and more sadistic.
And I have to say, man, I like that Naruto took a slightly different approach. Like, you don't really see, I mean, it happened, I guess, a few times, but you don't really see them uncovering a new transformation for the first time mid-fight. Like, a lot of the times, they were almost like techniques. And Naruto, I feel like, gives a lot of respect, like, the show, to, like, mastering a technique, getting it right, and then using it in a fight, versus just discovering it in the moment and having perfect control over it, kind of like the way Dragon Ball does. So, one of the coldest moments in Naruto Shippuden of all time was when Naruto showed up in Sage Mode to fight Pain. Like, he just appears, and then they did three different shots of him appearing. He's like, shh. Like,
yeah, that was dope.
Dog. Like, I got goosebumps. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons everybody says that Pain arc is one of the best arcs of all time, because that was one of the best entrances of all time. And then he backed his, like, talk up with the fighting, right? Mm-hmm. It was very, very cool to see. But then when you look at the form itself, it's not overly impressive. He doesn't really look that different. You know, he looks, like, slightly altered, but kind of, like, the same
foggy
dude.
A little bit, but, like,
not really. Yeah, exactly. Like, just slightly altered. So, I don't know if in the moment it makes sense, but, like, afterwards it's not really memorable. And, like, also, I guess I didn't realize how much I liked transformations until I started doing research for this episode and realizing that, like, there are shows that I now want to watch because I'm aware of the transformations that come within them. So I'll give you a great example. Gear 5 Luffy, right? Mm. When I saw that stuff popping up in Gear 5 Luffy, I'm like, okay, this looks crazy. Like, I really got to get into One Piece and catch up to get to this point. Gear 5 Luffy, obviously I can't talk on it. I don't know anything.
Yeah. Dog, I saw Gear 1 and I want to tell you my opinion on it, but I kind of want you just to I feel like you're going to have the same opinion I do. And if you don't, like, I'm going to be very surprised.
Yeah, I thankfully, like, Gear 5 Luffy was completely unavoidable to get spoiled for me, but I don't know what Gear 1, 2, 3, or 4 look like. So I'm very happy.
I think Luffy is in Gear 1, right? I misspoke. Gear 2. He's, like, in Gear 1 right now. Then he goes to Gear 2.
His casual stage is Gear 1?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense because he's not like a Gear 0. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's cool. Another thing, too, is, oh, man, and the Discord Brigade is going to be really happy to hear this, but have you seen Suppressed Mob? Have you seen what that looks like?
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok. Like, it looks pretty dope.
Dude, it looks so cool. It looks so, so, so cool. I'm going to have to watch Mob Psycho now to get to that part. Not going to lie. Like, I'm probably going to, like, dedicate to catching up on Mob Psycho, so...
Damn, that means I gotta dedicate to, man. All right.
Don't you want to though? After seeing Suppressed Mob, like, I'm surprised.
I mean, I didn't see that transformation
when you saw that. I was like, bro, this is so cool.
Like you, I did see that transformation today, and I was like, oh, that's pretty dope. So yeah, oh, I am willing. Yeah, I saw today too because I know nothing about Mob Psycho. I feel my brain goes out of its way not to look at Mob Psycho stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's like that looming like four seasons we know we got to catch up on, and it's fucking crazy.
Dog, like, that's a lot of anime. We're doing One Piece, and now we got to add Mob Psycho. That's
and crazy. Boruto, bro. I'm going to start. I'm committing to getting into Boruto again too.
Bro. Don't watch the filler, bro. You're gonna go insane, dog.
It's just I don't know how people skip filler. Like, I don't know how. It's so difficult to skip filler. It's
dog.
Oh,
the anime is so much better without
just skip
the filler.
Just skip it, dog.
It's easy.
You know what? Wow. I have never thought of that. No, you are right, though, because I look back into the, like, I've spent so much time watching Boruto, but probably like 100 episodes deep, and like 80% of it was filler. That's nuts. And I feel like I just wasted my time. But a little part of me would also feel like, well, what if I missed some stuff? Because I feel like filler a lot of the time is how you get closer to some of these characters. Like One Piece, for example, I am watching the filler. And I like it. I like One Piece filler. It does. I do feel a lot closer to some of these characters because of the filler.
Skip the filler, dog.
I might. Boruto might be the one show where I break my rule.
Bro, it's gonna break you, dog. It's gonna break you.
It's already broken me because I stopped watching it.
I used to watch Boruto filler, you know, like in the background while doing like busy work, like. At work and stuff like that, and then even then I'm like, I'm not even paying attention to this, and it's so hard it's not good.
Choji's daughter got a crush on him. It's so hard and random and weird. Like, what do you, why did I watch a whole episode of that? Speaking of you're gonna flip the subject, right? I want to bring up like one or two more shows where it makes me want to watch the show because of transformations, unless you have any.
You can get going.
So do you know who like Yamamoto is in Bleach? Is that like a big
character? The old guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the captains in, oh my god, I haven't watched Bleach in so long, I forgot. Like, he's one of like the Soul Reaper captains.
Dude, he's got this insane like fire style transformation. Yeah. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it because I haven't watched any of the 100-year blood arc. Because I want to like rewatch Bleach first before I do that again. But Yeah, that made me want to watch Bleach again.
So badly, exactly. So badly. I want to, a part of me wants to just, okay. So for the Sailor Moon tape, I watched this guy's YouTube video, and he had like 4 YouTube series, and he just summarized an entire season's worth in like 15 to 20 minute long videos. I'm wondering if people would judge me if I just did that for Bleach and then just started on the Blood Arc.
I'm telling you, you're going to be 10 minutes into that video and be like, I'm just going to watch Bleach.
Just really?
It looked, like yeah, you're gonna be like, I don't want to miss this. But do that, because I try to do that. I'm gonna be honest, guys. I initially tried to do that with One Piece, and I got 5 minutes in, and I was like, I need to watch this.
No, One Piece is too good. One Piece is too good.
Yeah.
And
transformation. Kidding.
The other one is Tokyo Ghoul. Like, everybody warned me about season 2 or 3 so much to the point where I didn't even give it a chance. And now I wish I did, because I'm looking at some of Kaneki's transformations, and he looks insane. He looks genuinely insane. Do you remember them? Can you talk on them a little bit?
I feel like I watched, like, in my head, I'm like, I watched all 3 seasons, but, yeah. Like, I only remember season 1, so maybe I only watched season 1, too.
Maybe we both did, bro. Revisit the ghouls.
Maybe they need a Tokyo Ghoul tape too. Just add that to the long list.
You know what? Halloween's coming up too. Ooh.
Oh, spooky season.
Spooky season.
Spooky.
I interrupted you. What were you about to say?
Oh yeah, that I was gonna say that. Seeing that Bleach transformation on TikTok definitely made me want to rewatch Bleach, and then. To get to that part, you know, that was really good. But I wanted to flip the script and talk about the transformations that are in the beginning of the show kind of thing. Mm. And I haven't seen an anime do it as well as Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
Denzi's transformation episode 1 is like pretty crazy, dude. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty nice.
Chainsaw Man for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a fan of Chainsaw Man. I'm not the biggest fan like everyone else is, but that transformation is so memorable that's like etched into my head whenever I think of Chainsaw Man. What do you think?
Do you like him in his chainsaw form?
Yes.
So this is going to sound weird. I love Chainsaw Man so much, and I love Denji as well. He's one of my like most favorite characters of all time. I'm a huge Denji fan. I don't really care for the form, and it's not that I don't like the form. It's just I'm kind of whatever on it. It looks a little weird to me how he has like his chainsaw is like all over him, and he's the Chainsaw Man, and he's all bloody. It's like kind of cool, but at the same time, like I don't dislike it, and I don't like it either. I'm just like okay, like that's his chainsaw form. And it just is what it is, if that makes sense. I hope he can somehow elevate into something further. But he is called Chainsaw Man, so I think no matter what, he's going to be some version of a chainsaw, right?
Yeah, I think that's his form that he's going to keep for most of the
anime. Yeah, I'm hit.
And I'm good with that. I think it's dope. I think because it's like so unlike anything else, you know?
Yeah,
that's why
very
I like
different.
It. It's very, very different. I think another transformation that I really liked that came earlier in the series, and which is I feel like different towards other anime, is in Jujutsu Kaisen when Sukuna takes or when he eats the finger,
you know,
he becomes Sukuna.
I don't think that's a transformation though.
It's like, a transformation, dog. He turns into Sukuna, dog. Like
but
that's
he's
a
like possessed, bro. No, it's not a. Dog,
then you can
turning
say, then you
super
can, dog, then you can say the same thing about Naruto, dude.
No, I can't, because Naruto turns into these things like willingly, usually. Like I'm
it doesn't
for the ones I'm for
it doesn't
ones
matter
I'm
if it's willingly of. Or non-willingly, it's still a transformation. He's still like turning into Sukuna. Like his face changes, like there's markings on his face and things like that. It's Sukuna, dog. Like that's a transformation.
That's a different, but exactly. It's Sukuna. It's not Itadori. It's not Itadori's Sukuna form. It's Sukuna. That's why I don't look at it as a transformation.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm saying, that's why I like it, because it's completely different from anime and transformations where it's like,
it's,
oh, I got
it's
more.
So different from a transformation. It's not even a, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, a transform, it's, dog. He's transforming into Sukuna. It's a transformation, dog. It's like literally the definition. Also, this is what our fights sound like.
So, no, they know what our fights sound like. They've heard the early episodes.
Semantic fights, dog. Like, no matter what side.
They heard the early episodes. They're hip. Okay, let me ask you, like, if a boy gets possessed by a ghost, is he transformed, or is he just possessed? Yes.
He's possessed.
You see it, Insidious,
dog. He's possessed. So like, I am.
Hold
a
on.
Big
you see an Insidious?
Yes.
Okay. So when one of the ghosts takes over, like the dad or the old lady, is that a transformation or are they just possessed?
They're just possessed. But if, like, let's say, I'm going to give you an example. Have you ever watched Exorcist? So yes. They're possessed, but then there's a part when they literally transform their eyes and their head starts spinning, and then like they get all like crackly and stuff like that, and they look like a monster. That's a transformation. So yes, he's possessed, but then when they look different and they start like exhibiting different like demeanors and things like that, that's when they transform.
I think this isn't a case where either of us are clearly right. And I think we can safely agree to disagree here. I get what you're saying, but I feel like you also get what I'm saying.
I totally get what you're saying.
I also get what you're saying.
I'm right.
But you're wrong. We said it at the same time. That was funny. So what is your preference, though? Do you like transformations earlier in stories or later or both?
I used to like it later, but I think now that I'm older and I've seen it so many times where it's like the story's building, I just like when they throw in the strong character in the beginning and they're like, let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel that. I guess I'm still more old school in that perspective. I like the older slow build and just seeing where they can go. But I guess maybe if some shows like Mob Psycho introduced it earlier, I would want to watch it more, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Because the transformation is ultimately kind of like what is drawing me in. Do you like it when transformations like change a lot of the whoever's transforming, like their physical appearance?
I honestly, if you would have asked me that like 10, 15, 20 years ago, I would have said no. Like, I used to like it when they like slightly change. Mm-hmm. But more of their powers, like there's more powerful now. I like it, like if they're like completely changed, if their face looks different, you know, if they're like they grew like a horn, I'm like, I'm in. You know what I'm saying? Like I like the weird stuff now, dude. Like,
oh, they sprout cockroach wings and turning into a praying mantis with the spider's face.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yo, can I tell you a transformation that I was like super disappointed in? And like, it's a show that you're never gonna watch. So I'm just gonna tell you anyway. All right, Hunter x Hunter, dog. And I'm gonna get a lot of hate from this, but this, it builds like this. All right, it's a Chimera Antarc at the end. And it's like such a deep like season of like anime. It's like sad. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's gonna transform. Like, you feel like he's gonna transform. And like, he does transform, but then he just becomes a grown man. That's his transformation.
That's weird.
It's weird, right? And then everyone's like, oh, it's the best transformation ever. I'm like, I feel like the way they built that story of him transforming was dope. And like, I think it's probably the best in one of the best in anime. But like, I think the actual transformation's just like, all right, he's just like an adult now. Like, that's weird.
That's super weird.
Yeah, it was very weird, dude. And I'm interested why that wasn't a lot of other people's opinion on it. But maybe it's because they just love Hunter x Hunter so much that they can't like have that opinion.
Oh, dude. Is it one of those shows where it's like it's really like safeguarded? Even
yeah,
when
Hunter
it's
Hunter
bad.
Is a safe. Yeah, dog. Hunter x Hunter is not bad, though.
No, I'm saying even if it does like a bad decision or makes a bad choice, it's like still safeguarded by the fans.
Yeah, exactly, dog. Exactly.
There's a lot of anime like that. There's a lot.
Yeah, like, you know, I feel like every anime has a fan.
Academia.
You know what? Does My Hero, they don't have that many transformations in My Hero, right?
I mean, Deku kind of does, right? Like in this most recent season, he's kind of got some tough stuff going on where he's got all the quirks coming up in him.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that counts. Dog, count that as a transformation, but you don't count Itadori actually turning into Sukuna? Come on, son.
Sean, remember when we agreed to disagree?
Yeah, I know.
I take it back. You're wrong. Sean, let me ask you, what would your transformation look like?
Well, I feel like, you know, some hair would be cool, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a little afro.
Yo. You know what I'm saying? Yo, that's so okay. How big is the afro? Is it like comedically large? Like
it's like you know, like old school Ludacris large. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe a white afro. Like it's like you know, white like the like Gear 5 Luffy or Ultra Instinct Goku or something like that.
Okay. No,
maybe some blue eyes. Maybe my skin turns blue because I think that'd be dope. You know?
Okay. You know? Cool.
So no, my skin turns blue. I got red eyes.
Yeah.
And I grow a tail.
Nice. With a comedically large afro.
Yo, and it's Fro 5 Sean. You know what I'm saying?
Fro. Okay. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Fro 5 Sean. For me, as you know, I'm a hairy individual. So my hair would grow so long that I would almost be like Tangela from Pokemon. And it would remain black, but I would have red eyes and I'd have horns coming out of my head. And I would just be kind of like the Harry Syndicate. So it'd be my Harry Syndicate form.
Man, that's fire. That's fire. That's awesome. Wait, what would you call
it? Harry Syndicate. That'd be my name. You know what our biggest enemy would be too? Hairdressers and barbers, bro. They would take us down according to our forms. They would murder us.
Oh my god, yeah. I just want my hair back. Kidding.
Yeah. Sean's like, oh, I'm so sad. Alright. Cool. Well, hey, Tipworms, let us know if we missed some big time transformations. I feel like we must have. Like, I feel like we spent a lot of the time talking about like the big hits, but I feel like there's stuff that like we must have missed, right? I can't think of it off the top of my head, but you know, if there is, pop it into comments, pop it in a Discord, do what you got to do. If you're listening to this part of the episode, it obviously means you're a fan. So subscribe. You might as well subscribe so you catch the future ones. Sean, any parting words for the Tapeworms?
Good night.